To the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We'll look at a couple of verses in just a moment, as we would stand in just a few moments to give respect to the reading of the Word of God. Let me just say again, we do invite you to stay, even if you're just visiting with us for the very first time. Listen, just come fellowship with us, have lunch with us, amen. If you don't feel you want to stay for the rest of the afternoon service, we understand that. But just come eat with us. Let's have a wonderful time as we fellowship together. There is plenty of food. Let me just say this, there is a ton, and I say a ton of desserts, amen. So if you don't like the other stuff, you don't like the entrees, and you don't like the sides, listen, just come and get a cup of coffee or iced tea or lemonade, whatever they have back there, and get some dessert, amen, and then press on with the rest of your day. For our church family and friends and family do, our expectation would be that you'll be able to stay and get involved with us here at the work and ministry of Sharon Baptist Church. We're going to be looking at the book of 1 Corinthians as we look at this idea of the Ministry Involvement Sunday, or Miss You, here at Sharon Baptist Church. The Lord laid this passage upon my heart for this morning's message, and I do trust and pray it will be a blessing to you. As we work down through this passage, maybe you might understand and say, well, this doesn't really affect me. But the truth of the matter, it does affect you in some way, shape, or form, if you're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to challenge your heart. As we think about this church at Corinth, we understand that the church at Corinth was a very carnal church. They're plagued with divisions. They had never matured as believers. In fact, Paul calls them babes in Christ. If you were to look at chapter number 5 and verses 1 and 2, you would have come to understand that they tolerated immorality in the midst of that local congregation. But despite all that, we find that this group of carnal and immoral Christians still exhibited some of the gifts of the Spirit on their life. Listen, I want you to understand this. It's just not the super saint. It's just not the mature Christian. Just not those who really are living for Jesus Christ that possess spiritual gifts. The Bible tells us that every believer has at least one spiritual gift, probably more than one, according to the Word of God. And so understand this. The problem at the church of Corinth wasn't that they did not possess any gifts. The problem was they wanted to use gifts that were not assigned to them or given to them by the Holy Spirit of God. When God gives gifts to Christians, He does so by His own sovereign will. It's not our choice, it's His choice. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 11, the Bible says, "But all these that worketh that one, the same self spirit, dividing every man severally as he will." And so we find that the people of Corinth stepped outside the boundaries set by the Lord and decided they were going to practice gifts that they have not received. And as a result, you'll know as you look and study the book of Corinthians, the church experienced chaos, the church experienced confusion, and it's very interesting as we look at the book of 1 Corinthians that the church at Corinth desired those flashy kind of gifts. They sought the gifts that was going to draw attention to themselves, and they ignored gifts that brought more attention to God and brought Him honor and brought Him glory. The believers at Corinth thought that every Christian needed to possess the gift of tongues. And that's why Paul spent so much time discussing this matter of tongues. The church at Corinth didn't seek gifts that honored God or ministered to others, such gifts as the gift of ministry or the gift of helps. Maybe that gift of exhortation or the gift of giving or the gift of mercy, or how about the gift of hospitality, just to name a few. As I thought about that, don't we see the same thing today in the world that we live in? We're told that if you want to be used by the Lord, you're going to have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, and the evidence of that baptism is of speaking in tongues. You see, people that believe that the flashiest of the gifts and place great importance on it. But guess what? God does not place great importance on it. As a matter of fact, He says this, that this gift of speaking in tongues builds up self and not the church. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse number 4, we find Paul writing this, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesied edifieth the church. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, in our text in verse 7, the Bible says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So then Paul launches off into a series of rhetorical questions, and Paul teaches us that we don't all have the same gift down in verse number 29 and verse number 30. And so if the church in Corinth were to take the gift of tongues, or we could really say any gift, as the proof of the Spirit's presence in our life, it adds to Scripture and it teaches false doctrine. Doesn't do anything but bring confusion. Doesn't do anything but bring division inside the local New Testament church. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33 that God is not the author of confusion. And besides all that, what's being practiced today in churches today is not the New Testament gift of tongues. It's an emotionalism. It's self-serving. And with that in mind, Paul begins to speak to this situation down in verse number 31. And he tells them that they were guilty of coveting more than they were given. But he's writing to show them a better way. Thank God for that. Paul says, listen, you're making a mistake here, but I'm going to tell you and show you a better way. And these gifts ministered to and benefited everyone, just not raising ourselves up, opposed to a bunch of babbling that really didn't help anybody out at all. We find that this Corinthian church needed to refocus from speaking in tongues to pursuing the spiritual gifts that benefited other people. And Paul is essentially telling the church at Corinth and telling you and I today, by the way of application, he's saying, allow me to demonstrate a superior way to bless others. He said, let me guide you towards a better pathway in your ministry. The more excellent way is a much higher way and very more important than the spiritual gifts. It's a quality that is higher than all these gifts if you were to combine them together. And the good news is this, guess what? That this more excellent way is something that every Christian can possess. I'm going to repeat that. This good news of the more excellent way is something that every Christian, me and you and everyone else can possess. And that brings me to what I want to share with you this morning, that God has gifted every believer in this room for service. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, you're going to find out today that God has. He's gifted me and he's gifted you for service. And as we think about that, all our gifts are different. The gifts, the spiritual gifts I have are different from your spiritual gifts. Our gifts are different. Our abilities are different. Our positions inside the body of Jesus Christ are different. But nonetheless, every gift is vital, and every gift is just as important as another gift. Verse number 12 of our text we'll read in just a moment makes this very clear. While we have we're distinct in our function, guess what? We are still one body. When you think about the church, and I'm not talking about the building, but I'm talking about the redeemed of God, it's an organism made up of millions and billions apart, but it's still an interconnected body that should function as one unit. And this morning, I want to take a couple of minutes to examine this passage and see just what the Lord would teach us about being inside the body of Christ. And as I do so, I'm going to preach to you this message I've entitled, Your Place in the Body of Christ. And as I preach this message, it is this pastor's prayer and my hope that you will see that even though you may not be like someone else, maybe you may not possess the spiritual gift that you want to have, you're still necessary for the proper functioning of Christ's body in the world. So let's stand this morning for the reading of God's Word. We'll begin reading in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and begin reading in verse number 12 all the way down through verse number 27. And then we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to challenge our hearts. And then with our complete obedience to him as a result of the challenge in our hearts. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse number 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole hearing, where would the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have been more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, and that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, and all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we think on this thought this morning, Father, I pray, Father, that you would help us, Father, to understand and believe and help us to find our place in the body of Christ. Oh, Father, so many people today believe that because they don't have a gift that maybe is more prominent than other gifts, Father, that they're really nobody inside the body of Christ. Oh, Father, the scriptures we have just read clearly debunks that idea and that thought. That, Father, every member is important to the body. And, Father, whether they have a seemingly a greater gift or a lesser gift in our own mind's eyes, Father, understand this, that every gift is important. And it's given by the sovereign God up in heaven. So, Father, I pray if there be someone here this morning as well, doesn't know Christ as their Savior, that this might be the morning they come to understand that they need to be in the body of Christ. They need to receive the forgiveness of their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Father, they can enter into this body of believers. So Father, we do love you. We do thank you, Father. We ask and pray these things according to your perfect will, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at a couple of things this morning, I want you to notice, first of all, found in verse number 13, notice your placement in the body. Your placement in the body. You may be thinking, how do we go about getting into the body of Jesus Christ? I want you to notice a couple of things. First of all, this morning, understand that it's passive. Some well-intentioned people would tell us this, that we need to seek this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they tell us if we seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we meet all the conditions of receiving the Holy Spirit, and we do our part, that God may give us the blessing of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Let me help you this morning. That is false doctrine. That is untruth. At the very moment of your salvation, you are given the Holy Spirit of God. You are placed into the body of Christ. Baptism of the Spirit refers to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. This baptism is the work of Jesus Christ. It's not the work of man. It makes a Christian a part of Jesus Christ. I want you to understand this morning, there are no partial Christians. There are no partial members of the body of Christ. You're either in or you're out. The work of Jesus Christ is complete once and for all. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 to 27, the Bible tells this, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." That word baptized literally means this. It means to be immersed in. It means to be placed into something. Literally, we're placed. Literally, we're immersed into the body of Jesus Christ. And at that moment of our salvation, every child of God possesses the Holy Spirit of God in his entirety. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have all the Holy Spirit. But our problem is today is perhaps he might not have all of you. And this is where the fullness of the Holy Spirit comes in and should not be confused with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5 and verse 18 tells us this, "And be not drunk in wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." The fullness of the Spirit refers to the control of the Holy Spirit of God over our lives. So in other words, we could ask ourselves this question this morning. Does the Holy Spirit have all of you? Or we could put it this way. Are you yielded to him? Are you surrendered to him? Listen, we don't get more of him as we go along. He simply gets more control of our lives. And as a result, we grow and we mature and we become spiritual in our daily walk with Jesus Christ. Well, we see that your placement in a body is passive. But then notice something else in verse number 13. We find it's personal as well. It's personal. Notice the wording in verse number 13. It says, "Are we all?" And then it says at the end of the verse, "All made." This is something that takes place in the life of every believer. Every sinner who places their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation experiences this baptism of the Holy Spirit of God. And this is the event that literally places you in the body of Jesus Christ. I think the real concern for people today is simply this. Have you truly been born again? Have you truly received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you trusted him? Are you born again? That's the question that nobody, and I mean nobody but you and God alone can answer. You can ask your wife, "Am I saved?" And listen, she can look at your outward appearances. She cannot see your heart. Only you and God know the answer to that question. We see that your placement in the body is passive. And thank God it's personal. But I noticed something else. I'm excited about this. It's permanent as well. It's permanent. Once a person is baptized or placed into the body of Jesus Christ, guess what? You are here to stay, amen. The verb phrase, "Are we all baptized?" is in the aorist tense. And in the Greek language, that aorist tense, it speaks of a one-time action that takes place and at some unspecified time in the past. And so in other words, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that it is for one time, for all time, that places you into the body of Christ. And when you get in the body of Jesus Christ, you can never get out. In Jude chapter 1 and verse number 24, the Bible says this, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy." Peter puts it this way in the first chapter, in verse number 5, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. The Bible says, "We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation to be revealed in the last time." I'm so thankful today that I am kept, I am preserved by the Holy Spirit of God. Well, not only this morning do we see our placement in the body, but then notice something else. Notice, secondly, your position in the body in verses 14 through verse number 24. Since every believer is placed inside the body of Christ, we need to know, how do we fit into this body? If we're placed into the body of Christ, how do we fit into that? Notice in verse number 14, every believer is part of a unit. Every believer is part of a unit. It doesn't matter if it's our bodies. It doesn't matter if we're talking about our car. Every part is essential to the proper function of the whole. And the same is true with the body of Jesus Christ. His body comprises believers from all walks of life, from all cultures, from all societies, from all levels of wealth in this world. They have nothing in common except for this one thing. They have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. We could say this. The body of Christ is a unified diversity because we're all different. And when every believer fills the place that God has assigned them, guess what? The body functions exactly as it should. And God is glorified as a result of that. And the work of the kingdom of God is carried out here on this earth. You know, if you were to take a gas tank and a tire and a radiator hose and a steering wheel and lay them outside on your driveway outside your house, guess what's going to happen? Absolutely nothing. You lay them there in the morning, when you come back in the afternoon, guess what? They're still going to be there. You come back in the evening after work, guess what? They're still going to be there unless someone stole them off your driveway and took them to the junkyard to make a few dollars, amen? Listen, they have absolutely nothing in common except they are a part of a unit that we call a car. But when the tank holds gas, and when that tire is mounted to a wheel, and that wheel is attached to a car, and that hose carries water to cool the engine as it runs, and that steering wheel was placed just on the driver's dash where it needs to be, then, and only then, can the car function as it should. You know, the same is true with the body of Christ. Every believer, I'm included, you're included, is part of a larger unit that has a function that we have to perform. And when we all do our part, guess what happens? We find unity and blessings are what follow as we function the way that we're to perform. Well, we see that every believer is part of a unit. But then notice in verses 15 and 20. We find that every believer is placed by God. We're not only a part of something, but we're placed in there by God Himself. In these verses, we find Paul using some pretty comical reasoning. A foot usually doesn't get the same attention that a hand gets. Neither does the ear get the same attention that our eye gets. And just because these parts of the body don't get the same attention that they think that they deserve, they have no right to try and remove themselves from the rest of the body. Let me explain it to you this way. If every part was an eye, the body would be useless for anything except for seeing. If the body was all a foot, it'd be good for nothing other than a lead weight as a doorstop. And Paul is saying that God has placed us, me and you, in the body where He wants me and you to be. It may not be some high-profile position. It may not be a glamorous position. It may not even be exactly what we want to do. But if it pleases the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the right place that God has for you. And no matter where you are, in the body of Christ, remember that you are placed there by God Himself. And there's nothing better in this life than knowing that you're walking in God's perfect will for your life. Let me apply it to you this way. I'm saying simply this, that we need to surrender to the place that Christ has for us. We need to surrender to the place in the body that Christ has for us, even if we would like to do something else. You see, God knows us, and He knows where that we can function best. Listen, just look at your life. You don't know what's best for you. God knows what's best for you. And when we submit to His will, guess what? He's going to be glorified. Christ's kingdom, again, is going to be advanced here in the world. I think our goal ought to be, according to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all for the glory of God. Well, we find that every believer is a part of a unit. We ought to say, glory to God, I'm part of the unit. We ought to understand this, that we are placed in that unit by God himself. Then notice in verse number 21 through verse number 24, every believer plays an important role. I think our problem today is that we believe the role that God has placed us in this body is not as important as the next person. Understand, every believer has an important role to play in the body of Christ. And here we find that Paul tells us that every member is vital to the proper function of the entire body. Listen, the eye can't tell the hand that it doesn't need it. Understand, the eyes, if they were disconnected from the hand, would never be able to reach out and grab the object that the eye desires. The head can't tell the feet to get lost because it have no way to get around. And Paul was simply saying that every part of our body is important, and it's important as every other part of our body. Think about your body for just a minute. How often do we think about our liver? Not very often. Only time we think about our liver is when something goes wrong. We never give it a thought, but take it away from your body, and guess what? You'll know it because you'll be dead. Do you ever think about your toes? No, of course not, unless you stub them. Or if you're ladies, you will think about your toes. They need to be painted, need to be trimmed, and you're going to have to, you know, go to the beauty place and get that done. But we don't really think about our toes. But listen, do you understand that without your toes, you wouldn't be able to balance the rest of your body? Think about the thumbs that God has given us. Thank God that we have these opposable thumbs. Without them, we'd have a very significant disadvantage in picking stuff up and doing things that God expects us to do. Think of the parts of our bodies that we simply take for granted. If any one of those were removed, the whole body would feel the loss. And I think the whole point of this section is Paul was trying to teach us that every member, no matter how insignificant they might feel their gift may appear to be, is essential to the proper operation of the entire body. Listen, please don't ever feel guilty of believing that you're unimportant in the body's operation. No one should ever think that they aren't needed. They don't have any spiritual gift. No one should ever tell another believer, we don't really need you around here. Listen, if someone tells you that, you come tell me, amen. And we'll tell them we don't really need them around here either, amen. Every member is vital. Every member of the body is essential. There's no big I's and little U's. There's only us, with capital U, small s, and we need each other to function as the body of Christ. If it weren't for the parts of the body that no one sees, guess what? We would never succeed in accomplishing God's work and ministry here on this earth. We're in this together, and we must never forget that. Well, let me sum this up. Remember that God keeps perfect record in heaven. He keeps a perfect record in heaven. He keeps a record of and rewards us for our obedience, and rewards you and I for our faithfulness to the calling that he has given us, our spiritual gifts, as we use them for the body of Christ. There'll be a lot of ears. There'll be a lot of knees. There'll be a lot of feet in the body of Christ who will receive more rewards than the eyes and the hands do. Well, not only do we see the placement and the position in the body, but notice lastly in verses 25 through verse number 27, notice your purpose in the body. What is your purpose for being in the body? You know, if we all have different functions, and we do, and we all have different responsibilities, and we do, then what is our purpose to be placed in the body? Notice in verse number 25, we find, first of all, it is to promote unity. Notice what Paul writes, that there should be no schisms, or we could say divisions, in the body. When every member does their part, and every member submits to God, and they're doing what they're called to do, guess what? The body of Jesus Christ will function in peace and function in unity. The problem is simply this. There are too many feet who want to be hands. Too many hands that want to be feet. Too many ears that want to be eyes. Too many eyes that want to be ears. And when this happens, the body is fractured and chaos is a result. God's plan for the church is that we be united. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, we find these wonderful words. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. And then in Philippians 1 and verse 27, he tells the church at Philippi, only let your conversation be as one that becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Now get this part, that ye stand fast in one spirit. In other words, he's saying stand fast in the unity of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You see, when we're not in unity, guess what? The body of Jesus Christ suffers. That word division is a butcher's term, meaning to tear, or it means to rend. It means to split apart or even to separate. It means to divide into separate pieces. And so we find the Apostle Paul here is pleading that they stop ripping each other apart. Stop tearing up the body of Jesus Christ. And when we practice this unity in the body of Christ, we're in effect butchering the body of Christ. Imagine waking up one morning to find that every part of your body has decided to be another part of your body. What a mess that would be. Only when each part of the body functions as God intends can we here at Charing Baptist Church enjoy peace, unity, and success in the work and ministry that God has called us to. Well, we see your purpose in the body is to promote unity. But notice the last part of verse 25 and verse number 26, we find it is to do something else. It's to practice mutual care one for another. Paul reminds us that if we are a unit, and we are, we're part of the body of Christ, and we're responsible and have responsibilities to the other parts of the body. And when another believer is hurting, we need to respond to that need. I'm reminded of what Paul wrote to the church of Galatia in chapter 6 and verse number 2. He says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. One member of the church isn't any more important than another member. It's not to God and it shouldn't be to you and I. And oftentimes we fall into sin when we begin placing prominence on certain people in the church over another member of the church. Listen, we shouldn't allow favoritism to anyone, to any part of the body. When a member of the human body suffers, listen, if my ear suffers, if my eye suffers, if my feet suffers, if my head suffers, guess what? The whole body suffers. And when one member, just say the feet, having run a race, is honored, guess what? The whole body, Paul says, rejoices with the feet. And the same is true with the church of Jesus Christ and the body of Christ. As one body, we are to suffer together. And as one body, we are to rejoice together. The body experiences life together, suffering together, rejoicing together, caring for each part of the body. You may never take the time really to think about your fingers, again, unless you're a lady and you want to go get the big nails and paint it up and get them all fancy. Men don't really think too much about their fingers, but guess what? You slam the car door on your fingers and watch how the whole body responds to the crisis. Nerves transmit messages to the brain, which then relay signals to the feet that makes you begin to hop up and down. It sends signals to the eyes that start to water, to the mouth that drops open in complete surprise, and to the other hand that's not caught in the car door begins searching for the door handle. And one of these less visible members get into trouble. Everything else responds to that need. We're just not to respond to the needs of the high-profile members. We're not to respond to the needs of just the spiritual members. We're not to respond to just to the needs of those who give a lot of money. We're to practice mutual care that covers the entire body. You see, if our hands decided one day to refuse to provide hygiene to the other members of our body, guess what would happen? Our body would become diseased and we'd have all kinds of problems. It's the same with the local New Testament church, the body of Jesus Christ. Every member is responsible for looking after the needs of every other member, regardless of their place in the body of Christ. I think that's what Paul means when he writes this in Romans 12 and verse number 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. You see, your purpose in the body is, number one, to promote unity. And number two, it's to practice mutual care. But then notice in verse number 27, it's to participate together in the activity of the body. And that's where we're headed this afternoon, to participate together in the activities of the body. I think Paul is writing verse number 27. He carries this similar thought as he expressed in the previous verses just a little bit farther. And each believer, we already know, is a member of the body of Christ and has their own place and has been placed in the body by God himself. And the point is forceful here. This point is emphatic. And Paul says, ye are the body of Christ. You see, Paul's goal is to get the church to recognize that every member relies on others to fulfill their role. This part of the body relies on this part of the body. This part of the body relies on this part of the body. Notice the wording. He says, members in particular. Individually, every one of us is a member of Christ's body. Not a single believer, not one person who has trusted Christ as their Savior is excluded. And no one is more of a member than any other member. We are all members of the body of Christ. Together, we make a complete body. Individually, we're small, yes, but we're a vital component of a very important organism, the body of Jesus Christ. As we close this morning, you might not possess the giftedness or the position someone else does. You might not even know today what your gifts and callings are. I want to encourage you today to come before the Lord and ask Him to show Him your gift or gifts. Next hour after dinner, we're going to help you discover the spiritual gift that God has given you. And at that very moment, you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. God has placed you into His body. And when He did that, when you were saved, He gave you specific gift or specific gifts to use for His honor and glory, and use those gifts for the advancement of the entire body of Christ. But listen, you can't use that gift if you don't know what they are. So come to Him and let Him teach you what that gift is. You may be here today and you may be guilty of seeking a position that you're not gifted for. Or maybe, perhaps, that you may envy another believer who has a high-profile calling in their life or a different spiritual gift than you do. And you look at them and say, I want that gift. I want to be able to do that. Or maybe you just envy them. If that's the case, you need to come to the Lord this morning and confess that you've been trying to do something like the church at Corinth that God has not called them to do. Then you need to be willing to accept the place that God has placed you into the body and receive what He has reserved for you. Others may be here today and don't know Christ as your Savior. You have never received Jesus into your heart and life. And what you need to do today is get out of your seat during the invitation. Come down to the front, acknowledging your need to receive Christ. Let us take someone with the Bible to show you how that you might be saved, how that you might be placed inside the body of Jesus Christ today, and you might be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Think about this. Jesus loves you. and Jesus has died for you, why not respond to his call and come today? Will you come and be saved? Church, maybe you want to come to this altar and commit as a member of the body of Jesus Christ to seek out your spiritual gift, no matter what they are, and use them for his honor and use them for his glory and for the benefit of the body of Christ here at Sharon Baptist Church. What is God challenging you with today? Let's pray.